Good morning. It's good to be home. It's good to be with you. JoJo did an awesome job last Sunday preaching the word, didn't he? And man, it's just so good and thankful for him. And welcome to Maine. You're here. So we're happy about that. I got the joy, along with Kristen and all of our kiddos, we just served down in North Carolina for a week at Johnny and Friends North Carolina, serving families affected by disability. A lot of you have asked this morning already how it was, how'd it go. Just a sweet time. And so thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support in sending us. We truly feel sent when we go down there. Something happened down there that's never happened before, which I was pretty excited about. The theme for Johnny and Friends this summer is coming from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. This is, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And that's kind of the verse. That's kind of what the whole week is built around. And so we talked a lot about encouragement, and we looked at, you know, the context of Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica and all those different things. But something happened this past week where there's a guy by the name of Thor. Okay, that's what he calls himself. His name's actually Michael. But Thor, at the end of every time that I would preach to the entire room, Thor would sit about... I don't know. He'd sit just maybe one row behind Tom right here. And Thor kind of reminds me of Tom a little bit, and vice versa. And so you could adopt this if you want to. You can think about it, pray about it. But every time I'd get done speaking, Thor, at kind of the top of his voice with a lot of enthusiasm, would say, "Yeah, let's give Pastor Travis a hand, everybody." And everybody, it was like, and it was awesome. So, maybe? Not yet. Okay, Tom's going to spend some time thinking on that a little bit. But just a sweet time. And so thankful for that. Thursday morning, my role was to preach to all of the adults and a lot of caregivers in that crowd, a lot of people. Giving their lives to loving children and their families affected by disability. And I finished out my time, and we washed all the parents' feet Thursday morning. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful time. I had a couple sit down. They were from Illinois, and the guy looked at me and said, "No one has ever done this for me before." And he was just overwhelmed with emotion, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful time. So thank you for your prayers for us. We believe God used us. I preached Friday morning, gave the gospel invitation. We hopped in the car. We got home yesterday morning at 5:15 a.m. Drove straight through. Slept a little bit yesterday, but I'm excited for Psalm 100 this morning. Okay, you excited? Excited to be, because I don't know if you read the psalm as JoJo was reading it over us this morning, but this psalm is a lot about joy, okay? So I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to look at your neighbor. Find somebody. If you're not sitting near anybody, okay, find somebody. Make eye contact with somebody even across the room, and I want you to look at them and say this: "You got joy?" All right, because I'm going to need you to have some joy. Look at him, say, "I'm going to need you to have some joy. I'm going to need you to have some joy," because he's clearly... overtired. No, I'm just kidding. No. Look at your neighbor and say, "It's time to be joyful. It's time to be joyful." Psalm 100. Okay, let's look at it together again. We're going to unpack it. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth." Right? "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." How many of you just came into the church this morning? You're just singing. You're just so excited to be here. Amen. Right? "Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. See, true worship is not just a song or a series of songs that we sing once a week. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, and it's a lifestyle of joyful gratitude and thanks to a faithful God. Everybody say faithful. To a faithful God. And Psalm 100 calls us not just to praise, but to live in response to the goodness of God. That's the calling of the morning. To live in response of the goodness of God. To live in response of the goodness of God. Some people think that following Jesus is just a bunch of rules and rituals and a series of all those things. But my question this morning that I want to unpack from Psalm 100, what if it's about joy? What if the Christian life, following Jesus, as we just sang, speaking the name of Jesus, what if the whole thing is about joy? What if the whole thing is about making noise, not chaos, but a joyful, holy noise? One of the messages that I've been speaking at Johnny and Friends this summer is Zacchaeus. You guys know the story of Zacchaeus, right? Some of you might even know the song. Right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Love that part. And a wee little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Right? And if you read the story of Zacchaeus from the Gospels, you know he was a chief tax collector, which meant he would have been hated in this time. But he had heard that Jesus was coming into town. He had heard some of the things that Jesus was doing, and some of the miracles that he was working. And so he desperately wanted to see Jesus. So what did he do? He got to the crowd. He heard that Jesus was going to be walking through. Because he was a wee little man, because he was short, okay? He couldn't see over the crowd. And so the Bible says, and the Bible is very clear in this, that it says he ran ahead of the crowd, found the sycamore tree, and climbed up, right? Now, that's interesting. It kind of reminds me of Luke chapter 15 and the story of the prodigal son, where the father saw the son far off as he was coming home to his father, coming home to his home. He had had the realization, my father's servants eat better and live better than I'm living right now. I've squandered away my entire inheritance. Maybe, just maybe, daddy will let me be one of his servants if I go home. Father's sitting on the front porch, sees his son a long way off. You know what he does? You remember what he does? He ran. This is significant in both of those stories. Why? Because people in this time, especially men in this time, they didn't run for anything. They didn't run for things. They didn't run. They had people to do the running for them. Right? They didn't run. But twice we see a father run eagerly, excitedly to embrace his son and to welcome him home. And we see a chief tax collector run in anticipation and expectation to try to just get a glimpse of Jesus. And because of his expectation and anticipation, his excitement, his joy at seeing Jesus, what does Jesus do? He changes his life, not only his life, but his family's life, if you read the entire story of Zacchaeus. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. You remember, maybe you've seen this, maybe sometime where you've been away for a long time, either as a parent or as a child, your parent was away for a long time, and you come back together, and what happens? They run. Right? They run into your arms with excitement, all of that, and they jump into your arms and they're excited to see you. They're so ecstatic to see you, right? That's a beautiful thing. That's what I view at Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son being. arms wide, laughing, shouting with excitement, seeing one another again. And what I want you to get is that all of these, they're a picture of worship. It's a picture of worship that's alive. It's a picture of worship that's loud. It's a picture of worship that's loud. It's a picture of worship that's full of joy, that's rooted in relationship. Because that's why there's such excitement and joy to see, is because it's not a set of rituals or rules like a religion. It's rooted in relationship, and that's where the joy is. So I want to point out five things to you this morning, one from each verse. We're just going to kind of unpack it, go kind of verse by verse this morning through Psalm 100. That okay? I'm excited this morning. You excited? Okay, very good. The middle sections are alive. They're here this morning. Wings, we're gonna get you there. Okay? There we go. Thank you. I came from the depths back there. Look at verse 1 again. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. All the earth, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Joyful worship is a command, not a suggestion. I want you to see that. Joyful worship is a command, not a suggestion. Now, before we get too deep into this, I've got to recognize something. We've got to recognize something, okay? Not everyone shows joy the same. Amen? Not everyone shows joy the same. There are some people, in their joy, they're very expressive. They get excited. They walk around a lot. They jump around. They shout. They get excited. They clap their hands. They smile. You can tell they're full of joy. And then other people can be full of joy and just look like this. And you just look at them. And you're like, "What's wrong with you?" Nothing. I'm full. I'm joyful. Are you excited to be here? Yes, I'm very excited to be here, right? And you almost like frustrate them when you ask questions like, "Why are you not having a good time? Why are you not enjoying this?" But they're joyful, their joyfulness, the extent of their joyfulness because of who they are and how God created them to be, notice that, is this. And they're just full, like that is full on joy for them, right? Anybody like that in the room? Okay, great. Yeah, you're just great. We okay back here? You guys all right? Okay, good. You're joyful this morning. I like it. But with that, let's look at this, okay? Joyful worship is a command, not a suggestion, okay? Hang with me here. This is a global call. Right? Not just for the people here, but we believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. It's without error. It's inspired by God for all people, right? That this command, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, that is not just within the body, that's not just within the church. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. The psalmist calls the whole earth to erupt in worship. And the key word, joyful. Joyful. Make a joyful noise. Not silent, not quiet, not necessarily reserved. But notice something. This isn't forced hype. It's genuine celebration. Have you ever been to a Red Sox game? Well, I should say this over the years because it could be 50, it could be up or down, right? And if you go to a Red Sox game and they're winning, in the top of the ninth inning, right? They get two outs in the top of the ninth inning. What happens? Everybody starts standing up and cheering. Everybody gets excited. Now, the Red Sox don't have a worship leader in the ninth inning with two outs to encourage everyone to get up and start clapping. They just know. Because they know the time is coming where they're going to get that final out and the Red Sox are going to win and they're going to go crazy. Right? The other night, we had something really exciting happen in New England. Come on now. The Patriots kicked off their season in their first preseason game. And if you were watching, you saw it. If you weren't watching, chances are you heard about it if you're remotely a sports fan whatsoever. But the kickoff happened. Now let's just remember the last couple seasons, Patriots, we haven't had a lot to cheer for. Okay? So now we see any glimmer of hope and we get excited, right? We're pumped, we're jazzed. And so kickoff, the first play of the 2025-2026 season is a kickoff to the Patriots and our brand new fresh draft pick catches that ball at the goal line and takes off to the other end of the field, scores a touchdown on the first play of our season. Yes, it's preseason, but I'm hopeful, family. I'm excited. I saw yesterday that they did the scientific statistic thing. That guy hit 21 miles an hour as he was running from one end to the other. Anybody in the room run 21 miles an hour? I didn't think so, right? But in that moment, no one in Gillette Stadium had to be told to get excited. Well, maybe Commanders fans did, right? But it was full of Patriots fans. No one had to be compelled to stand up. No one had to be compelled to shout for joy as our first play ended in a 100-yard kickoff return for touchdown. Any other teams this weekend have that happen? I didn't think so. No one had to compel them. Right? No one had to compel them. Let's get off the sports for just a moment. Earlier this summer, Kristen and I celebrated 19 wonderful, blissful, argue-free years of marriage. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Thank you. You're my Thor. I appreciate that. And to celebrate, Kristen did something for me she's not done in 19 years of marriage and, you know, 2 years of pre-marriage, so 21-ish years together, and she did something, and so we got tickets to a concert, okay? We've gone to concerts before, but this concert wasn't necessarily a concert that she preferred. It was a concert for me. Okay, and so she was all excited. I don't know if I should say she was all excited. Okay, but she, you know, we were going to go to this concert together, and some of you are going to really cast some serious judgment in a moment. But it was Dave Matthews Band. Okay, it was Dave Matthews Band. Okay, so okay, great. Not as bad as I thought. Okay, some of you are like heathen. I get it. Right, I really enjoy Dave Matthews Band. Something specifically about Dave Matthews Band is their drummer. Okay, his name's Carter Beaufort. In my opinion, he's one of the top two drummers of all time. I know that there's some people that probably have differing opinions of that. But when I go and watch Dave Matthews Band, I watch Carter Beaufort play drums. Because there's something electric when he plays drums. The joy that he plays drums with for a 90-minute set is unbelievable. It is exciting. Now, at this particular concert with 40,000 of our closest friends, we were about 2.5 miles from stage, right? And so it's kind of hard to see that joy, but every now and then they would show him on the big screen, and you could get a glimpse as long as your phone was out and you were fully zoomed in on the screen. You could get a glimpse of Carter's face, and he was so joyful, and I thought, wow. Right? Like, who could ever have a bad day playing in a band with that guy? Right? And I'm sure he's real. I'm sure Carter has bad days. Like, I'm sure he does. But when he's behind that drum set, nothing gets him down. Nothing. He is joyful. And it's inspiring. And I had the thought that night that man, ministry, the thing that I get to do, right? I should be able to replicate that level of joy when I get the opportunity to bring the gospel, when I get the opportunity to worship with fellow believers, that there should be a joy, right? We shouldn't have to compel. Nobody has to look at Carter. I'm sure nobody has to look at Carter before he goes on stage. I'm talking about him like he and I are best friends. I've never had a conversation with the guy in my life, right? But no one has to look at him and say, hey, like, you're going on stage. I need you to be joyful. We could tell that, right? Like, we'd be able to sniff that out. We'd be able to sniff out the fake. He gets up there with a genuine joy. And so when the psalmist says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, this command, the kind of response that the psalmist is compelling us to is this, that it should be second nature to those who have tasted the grace of God. That level of joy, contentment, now, we don't have time to really unpack this, but joyfulness and happiness are two different things, right? And that's not, I'm not talking about a happiness, I'm talking about a joyfulness, this contentment, this genuine joy of being in the presence of God should be second nature in the life of the believer that has experienced the grace of God. Let's experience the grace of God. And so, a couple things before we go to number two. Your volume in worship, that is, again, not just the songs that we sing, it's how you wake up tomorrow morning. Your volume in worship, not just the songs that we sing, but how we hear and respond to the Word of God. How we love our families, how we're faithful to our priorities. Your volume in worship is not about personality, whether you're an introvert or extrovert, whether you shout and clap and praise or anything like that. Your volume in worship is not about your personality, it's about your priority. Your volume in worship is not about your personality, it's about your priority. Because we can get really excited and joyful about the things that we care about that we value, that we place value on. If Jesus has saved us, if Jesus has saved us, if we have experienced grace in this room this morning, you've got a reason to make some noise. You've got a reason to celebrate. You've got a reason to be joyful. It doesn't matter what the external circumstances are. At the end of the day, you have a reason to be joyful. You have a reason to praise. If you have experienced the grace of God in salvation this morning, you have a reason to walk out of this place today joyful. We may not have played your favorite worship song. We may not have preached your favorite psalm. We may not have said something that you liked. You may not have gotten a bulletin or been, you know, whatever. Like there could be circumstances that weren't quite perfect for you, but yet Jesus has saved you and you have a reason for joy. Come on. Come on. Number two. Look at verse two. The psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. Isn't that awesome? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. See, worship is more than music, it's service. Worship is more than music, it's service. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Now, the word serve here, if you were to study that, if you were to take that to a concordance what do you call the books? That you Commentaries, thank you. I was looking at Josh because I knew he would know because he reads commentaries for fun. If you were to take this word serving into a concordance or a commentary on the text and look at it, this is what the word serve here literally means: ministering to God. You know why it's not always fun to serve today? Because we have the purpose behind our serving wrong. If you're serving to please the pastor, if you're serving to please the ministry leader, if you're serving to get an extra crown or whatever, if you're serving for yourself, if you're serving for any other reason than the overflow and outpouring of your gifts that God has given you in the first place back to Him, it's a drag. It's a drag. It's a drag. It can become a job. Preaching becomes a job if I preach for myself. Preaching becomes a job if I preach for you. But preaching is not a job if I'm reflecting the gift that He gave me to look at the Word and communicate the gospel back to Him, praying that the Holy Spirit does the work of connecting it all. It's not a job. I can't tell you the number of people. It's a conversation all week when we're down in North Kakalaki. That's what you call North Carolina. North Carolina, and so people will come. Hey, what's your plan? Because some people you're like, what's your plan? People will come. They want to know. How long we're going to be there and all those different things. And, you know, we typically tell them, well, we're going to, you know, finish the program on Friday morning. We might have a little bit of lunch and then we got to get home. Well, why you got to get home so fast? Well, I'm going to preach on Sunday morning back at Summit because there's no place I'd rather be than to preach right here at home, right? In the home church, right? And it's exciting for me. And they're like, oh, you got to preach this Sunday? You got to preach this Sunday? Why are you doing that to yourself? I'm like, man, I'm not doing it to myself. You mean I get an opportunity to use the gifts that God has given me in the house of Him, right? For His glory, for His edification, for His name's sake, sign me up. Sign me up. Right? Serve the Lord with gladness. Some of us need to remember this. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. We've come a long way, haven't we? We've come a long way from the time. If you were in church, some of you weren't around back then, but listen, back in the 80s and 90s, early 2000s, man, like there would be programming happening in the church every single day. Every single day. Like I can count on one hand, like I can probably count one or two days growing up as a middle schooler, high schooler in the Church of Jesus where I was not in the church. Where I was not in the church. And some of you are like, wow, things have changed. Yes, things have changed. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I think we can look at statistics and probably see the answer to that, but that's not what this message is about, right? But again, if we go back to worship is not about volume, it's about priority and serving the Lord with gladness, right? Man, that is not the culture of serving that is in the Church of Jesus anymore, across the board. We hear things like, oh, bummer, I'm in the kids today. Oh, man, bummer. I forgot. I'm on welcome team today, right? But the psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. I had somebody say to me this past week, whew, this might step on somebody's toes in the morning, this morning, but that's all right. I'm excited to be here. I had somebody say to me this past week about children's ministry, the thing that's happening over here every time. He said to me, and he's very involved in his church. He's very plugged in and serving in his church. And he looked at me and he said, I don't think parents should be expected to serve in children's ministry as long as they're parents. There should be enough people that have already parented or are not yet parented that serve the kids and are eager enough to preach Jesus to the children over there that the parents can come in and just worship. And I was like, oh yes. Right? Yes. It is not a sentence. You have not made anybody mad if you're serving in the children's ministry. It's a joy. I'll never forget one Sunday in a church down in Virginia, they were looking for the pastor. The music was over. The time where they prayed over needs and different things like that had finished. It had been done. And they were looking for the pastor because it was his time to preach the message. And so they couldn't find him. I mean, middle of the service. This is not pre-service. Middle of the service. They are in this moment, right? The singing is done. The offering has been taken. They've passed the plate. It is time for the pastor to get up and preach. And they can't find him. They can't find him. And so the deacons wake up. And they go around and they're looking for the pastor. And they go down, there's a two-story church building. They go down in the nursery, and there he is sitting rocking the babies. He's the only adult in the room. He's the only adult in the room. And they said, Pastor, what are you doing down here? You're supposed to be preaching the word. He said, yeah, I'm ready to preach, but there was nobody to take care of the babies. And so I just came down here to take care of the babies. I figured since there was nobody here to take care of the babies, that there'd probably be someone that could give the message if I just stayed down here and took care of the babies. That's the last time he served in the children's ministry. There were people to take care of the babies after that Sunday. Serve the Lord with gladness. We get to serve. I get to preach. The people up here playing on the worship team, there's not an entitlement to this. There's not an entitlement to, like, we don't walk in as God's gift to Summit and say, I play bass. I play drums. No, there might be other churches around that do that and treat that way. But when we look at people to serve in the house of God here at Summit, it is out of the overflow of what God is doing in your life with, as Psalm 100 says, gladness. There is joy in serving. There's joy in serving. Real worship is not limited to the platform. It's lived out in the parking lot. It's lived out in the kitchen. It's lived out in the classroom. It's lived out in the sound booth. Gladness, not grumbling, marks the heart of true servants. And so here's the deal. You can't say that you love God and hate serving his people. You can't say that you love God and it's a job to serve his people. You can't do it. Worship doesn't end with a song. It starts there and spills into how you treat others and how you approach serving the people of God. Look at number three. Look at verse three. You all right? Yep. All right, good. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Number three, we worship God because we know who God is. Right, we worship God because we know who God is. This is about identity, right? You're not your own. Okay? In the same way that I'm talking about your gifting, in the same way your gifting is not your own. God gave you gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. You're not your own. You're created. You're chosen. You're cared for. Sheep are prone to wander. Sheep are vulnerable, but they're deeply loved by the shepherd. Right? And so here's the deal. Here's the truth of this verse this morning. You don't have to have it all figured out. Praise God. Amen. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have the area of your serving or your identity or when Jesus is going to come back. You want to know one of the best-selling books in 1987, 1988? You want to know one of the best-selling books? I was researching recently about for a sermon that I'm about to give this week. One of the best-selling books in 1987-1988 is this, 88 Reasons That Jesus Is Coming Back in 1988. Not awesome? Lee Terrible? 88 Reasons. You can still get it. Believe it or not, you can still actually pay money for that book. Not a lot of money, but you can pay like under $2 and you can get that book. I thought about buying one, just a half, as I think it would be great to have on your shelf, right? We don't have that figured out. We don't have when Jesus is going to come back figured out, right? In fact, he says we're not meant to. We're not meant to have it figured out. We're not meant to know the day or the hour or the time. Just be ready when he comes, right? We don't have to have it all figured out. Hopefully, prayerfully, that sets somebody free in the room this morning. We just know, we just need to know who our shepherd is. We don't have to have it all figured out. We just need to know who our shepherd is. And we need to know that it's not us holding on to him, but it's him holding on to us. Look back. He says, know that the Lord, he is God. Know it. Know who your shepherd is. Know who your Lord is. It's he who made us. We are his. He's holding on to us. We are his people. We are the sheep, the vulnerable ones, the prone to wander ones, deeply loved. We are the sheep of his pasture. We worship because we know who God is. You're not defined by your worst sin or your biggest win. You're defined by who you belong to. You're not defined by your worst sin or even your biggest win. You're defined by who you belong to. And so let that truth lead you into security, not into striving. But the peaceful joy that what's going to happen is going to happen. My response is faith and obedience. Number four, look at verse 4. I love this. Enter his gates with, what does it say? Thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Gratitude, number 4, gratitude opens the door to God's presence. Gratitude opens the door to God's presence. Isn't it awesome to just be thankful? Just be thankful. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but sometimes that's hard. It's hard. But there's a song that I've been singing a lot lately when I think about the Lord. How he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me up to the uttermost, and filled me with the Holy Ghost. Is that the lyric? When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me to the uttermost. And then there's something there about the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I've been listening to that recently, and I'm just thinking, man, like, I look around at the circumstances, at the situations, at the conversations that I'm having these days, and man, it's not always the natural bent to respond with gratitude and thankfulness. But when I think about the Lord, now he saved me. By grace, how he loved me, how he died for my sin, how he filled me with the same power that raised Jesus from the grave. I have a reason to be thankful. I have a reason to praise. I have a reason for gratitude. The gates and the courts here, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with his praise, they refer to the temple. Now, this is important because in the Old Testament, the temple was the symbolic presence of God. And so what the psalmist is saying is enter into his presence with thanksgiving, enter into his presence with praise. And so that is the way in which we are to enter the presence of God. And so what we see here is that gratitude is the key that unlocks intimacy with God. Isn't that powerful? Gratitude, we're not entitled to intimacy with God. Gratitude is the key that unlocks intimacy with God. We don't need a priest or performance. We talk about that a lot around here. We need a thankful heart. Some of us are trying to get into God's presence with complaints and bitterness, but the password is always thank you. Isn't that powerful? So practice gratitude like a spiritual discipline. Practice gratitude like a spiritual discipline. What if instead of starting your prayers with problems, you started with praise? Whenever I teach prayer, I say, let's start with awe and thanksgiving, right? And because gratitude opens the door to God's presence. And then lastly, number 5, look at verse 5. It says, for the Lord is, say it, good. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. We worship because God is good, because God is loving, and because God is faithful. God is good, loving, and faithful. Let me tell you something. This verse is the foundation of all worship. God is not good because life is easy. He is good even when life is hard. The word here for his steadfast love, that word love is chesed. Chesed is the way to say it. The Hebrew word chesed, steadfast is what it means. Covenantal, unshakable is that word, right? And so what we see is that his faithfulness doesn't run out when we mess up. In a world of shifting values, in a world of broken promises, God's character is an anchor. We can build our lives on his goodness, his love, and his faithfulness, even when the feelings lie. And so here's the deal. Some of you may need to stop worshiping like God is dead and start living like Jesus is alive. Serving with gladness, shouting for joy, entering his courts with praise, giving thanks to him and blessing his name. And so maybe today, worship starts for you, not with a song, but with surrender. So let Psalm 100 be your anthem, your life, your lifestyle. And so 5 takeaways as Dylan's going to come and he's going to play a song for us this morning. 5 quick takeaways. Number 1, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Some point today, make a joyful noise. We just rode in the car 1,038 miles is the distance. 1,038 miles. And so here's how we make it. Okay, some of you are like, well, how do you do that with your kids? Our kids travel really, really well. And so Ezra and Vera, our 10 and 8-year-old, they've got DVD players in front of them. And in the back of the headrest. And so they've got headphones on, they're watching movies. And something happens. Ezra kind of sits in the middle row and he's got his headphones on, he's watching a movie. And every now and then you would just hear this giggle out of Ezra. No context. Right? No context, because we can't hear the movie that he's watching. We don't know what he's watching, but we just hear his giggle. And every time he giggles, and Kristen and I are both awake, right? We just look at each other and smile. Because his giggle makes us smile. It's a joyful noise. There's something about it. If you ever get to hear his giggle, it's like the cutest thing on the planet. I hope he never grows out of it. It makes me smile. His joy is contagious. His joy is contagious. And if he's doing that for a movie, how much more can we do that for the love of Jesus in our lives? Right? Make a joyful noise. Let your praise this week be louder than your problems. Can we do that? Can we try that? What does it look like if this week we let our praise be louder than our problems? Number 2, serve with gladness. Whatever you are being asked to do, whatever you, if somebody asks you to do something, we've got a lot of people going to Camp 207 this week. Serve with gladness. Serve with joy. Worship is work and witness as we serve others with gladness. Number three, know your shepherd. Know your shepherd. Know the Lord. Know that He is God. Know it is He that made us and we are His. Your identity in Him is secure. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Know your shepherd as a sheep. Number four. This kind of goes back to number two, but be thankful daily. Starting in your day with gratitude. Thinking about something that you're thankful for, someone that you're thankful for. And then tell them. Tell them. And then lastly, this week, trust His character. Trust His character. He's good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. His character can be trusted. His goodness never expires. So I want you to think about this morning. I'm going to pray for us. Dylan's going to sing a little bit of a song. JoJo's going to come and close our time together. But I just want you to think about this morning. As you're closing your Bibles, you're putting things down, you're getting ready. I want you to think about this morning. Where's my praise? What am I thankful for? What does my life reflect that is my Lord? Because my prayer for you today is that you leave this place in abounding and overflowing thankfulness and gratitude to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe that's not how you walked in this morning. But as we sing this song together and as we go, as we high-five each other and shake one another's hand and hug each other out for the week, my prayer is that you're overwhelmed with gratitude at the person and work of Jesus and what He did for you, how He loved you, how He filled you, and how His goodness is forever. God, today, I thank You for who You are. I thank You for Your love for us. That while we were yet sinners, You sent Your Son to die on our behalf. That we could have life and have it to the fullest. So God, today, I pray that our joy and our praise would outweigh anything else in our lives. That our gladness would overflow into the people that we come in contact with. Help us. We need You. This is not a natural reaction or a natural response. But fill us with gratitude and thanksgiving as Your people for what You've done as we worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.